Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. As we reported earlier, Metro Police are investigating a stabbing at the U Street Metro Station. The victim is expected to survive, but it is just another example of the kind of violence that impacts citizens in the DMV and across the country. Gun violence, carjackings, and home invasions are reported every day by innocent victims. And tonight we explore what you can do to protect yourself and avoid being a victim of violent crime. My guests are Azaria, a community activist who is also a survivor of violent crime, and Clyde Boatwright, president of the Maryland State Fraternal Order of Police. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. I'd like our listeners to kind of share what they are doing or how their lives are changing, their personal practices are changing to make sure that they don't become victims of violent crime. What are you doing to protect yourself? I want to hear from you tonight. Thank you both for joining this conversation. I appreciate your time. Clyde, I want to start with you. We know that there is a sense of normalcy, unfortunately, surrounding violent crime in our communities. Why do you believe that this is happening?
Well, it goes back to over the last few years, some of our elected officials have decided that young people, particularly juveniles, are not criminally responsible for their actions. And so they've created laws or changed laws to make it easier for juveniles to not be held accountable for their actions, particularly with violent crime. We see that a lot in Maryland, in Prince George's County, and here in Baltimore City, where I live, where we have these bands of juveniles that are going around intentionally targeting people for violent crime, and they're not being held accountable.
You, I'm sure, have heard from officers, but you also have heard from victims. You're a veteran in the service of in the police service. Have you seen it? Is this the worst that you've ever seen it?
Yes, I would say right now the high rate of violent crime that we're seeing is the worst in my 23 years in policing. I mean, yeah, of course we've had spurts where we had a number of situations where we had pockets of violent crime, but now it's more widespread. It's no longer contained to certain neighborhoods and certain communities. It's more widespread across county jurisdictional boundaries. And we're now starting to see an increasing level of more violence. Like at one point there were just, young people stealing cars, but now, they've progressed to carjackings and now shooting people that, that even give up their vehicle or give up their belongings. They're now starting to attack these people with acts of violence.
Let's talk a little bit about what people can do. Obviously, we can throw out people, for example, who are involved in, who are involved in criminal activity and who become victims, for example. If you break into someone's home and that person has, has a gun, okay, there's a chance that the owner of that home, could shoot you. If you're involved in the drug trade, there's a chance that you could be the victim of a violent crime because you may be considered competition or somebody may not like something that you've said in this illegal business. But there are so many innocent victims. People who, for no other reason other than the fact that they were walking down the street or going to work or minding their own business, who have, become victims of crime. kind of run down what you would recommend for people to do to protect themselves? There are so many, and we have plenty of time, but talk to me about what you would recommend.
You know, things, you got to limit your exposures. Those are the things that I try to tell people when I speak to groups of people in church and things like that. Limit your exposures, such as if you are doing a transaction online or buying something off like a Facebook marketplace or something like that, don't meet people at your home. Meet them at a local police station. If you're walking and you have to walk from, say, the bus stop to your job and things like that, don't use alleys to for the shortcut. Sometimes taking the longer route could be the safer route, because you want, if you're going to be the victim of a crime, you want other people to see that so they can possibly get you help. But if you're secluded in a dark place, in an alley, on a parking lot, people are less likely to see you being attacked. So stay in well-lit areas, you know, limit where you meet people to public places. And you know, don't use parking garages, you know, don't use the local supermarket parking lot. You know, again, police stations are a great place. You know, local malls are a great place where there are a lot of people during the daytime. So just, again, limit your exposures. Watch vehicles that pull up next to you. If you're involved in an accident, if you don't feel like you're in a safe place to stop, put your four-way flashers on and go to a well-lit area so you can exchange information, so you're not out in the street. Because that's another, you know, way that they target some people for crime, you know, carjackings, is they have one vehicle ram you in the back, and when you get out to check the damage to exchange gun information, then, you know, they produce a firearm or jump in your car and pull off. So just being mindful and limiting your exposures is the best piece of advice I could give.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about victims of crime and what you can do so that you don't become one. Do you need to change how you live, where you go? Do you need to do some things that will, as one of our guests, Clyde Boatwright, said, to limit your exposure? What are you doing to protect yourself from being a victim of crime? I'd like to know if you've made any changes in your life recently. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Azaria, you were robbed on a Metro bus. You were expecting. If you don't mind, can you kind of share with us what happened?
Yes. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you. And thank you for being on the program and talking about this really important topic.
Yes. So for me, that situation was very traumatizing. It was very devastating. But I took it as a way to go ahead and turn what did they say, lemons into lemonade, right? And so now I'm actually currently at my self-defense program, where I had some teen girls that I learned some self-defense techniques by a triple black belt. So that's what I went ahead and did. I went ahead and started a movement so that other young women, other older women, other young men, older men, families can learn a technique that can help defend themselves. Because I heard the officer, but, you know, I was on a public Metro bus, you know, and this guy that felt like he needed the Beats headphones at the time, I guess the value of them were about $200. But I've seen this type of violence again in my prior position, working at a tennis shoe store and being a manager at a shoe store, and just seeing the robberies for kids that were buying shoes. You know, it's ridiculous. And at least if you know martial arts or boxing or some type of self-defense, to get out of those situations, to preserve your life. I think that that's the best thing.
The person that robbed you, did he have a weapon?
I don't even know if he had a weapon. He took them from me. That wasn't even the first time that's ever happened. I was pregnant, so he didn't, you know, help, as they would say, held me up, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when I was about 19 years old, I was older in my age when I was expecting. I was about 24, 25. But when I was 19, I was on the train, you know, going from one job to another. And a guy attacked me because I wouldn't give him my phone number. Now, this person had a mental health issue, right? And he did, in fact, have a weapon on him. And he actually slammed me 3 times on the platform of the metro station, where, for some reason, there were no Metro Transit police at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And an older guy helped me get up off the ground. And at the time, I did have a pocket knife on me. And my mother and aunt had a conversation, like, you know, my mom was like, no, she doesn't need to carry a knife. It's not necessary. My aunt was like, I'm giving her this because you never know. This world is crazy.
Yeah.
Well, very much the next day, I had to use that knife to defend myself. And I'm lucky and glad that I had it that day.
Well, I'm glad that you have survived both of these incidents and are here to talk to us about this really important issue. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about violent crime and what you can do to prevent yourself from being a victim. If you've made changes, if you've done some things to protect yourself, to protect your family, whether it's something that you've done in your home or the way that you comport yourself when you are out and about, I'd like to hear your story. Give us a call. Let's go to Lisa, calling from Northeast DC. Lisa, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Lisa, are you there?
I'm sorry. Hello?
Yeah, go right ahead. Turn your radio down. What's on your mind?
Well, what's on my mind, what I stated to the young lady, I was born and raised in D.C.,
mm-hmm.
Always been living in D.C., and I think if we have the invisible mayor more involved.
The invisible mayor? What do you mean, the invisible mayor?
Yes, the invisible mayor. She's the invisible mayor. You never see her when there's a shooting or anything that's going on in the neighborhood. I've never seen her. Pretty much like if there's more activities for these youth.
Well, let me stop because the question that we are asking tonight is, what have you done to protect yourself? We're not talking to, we talk about what the police want. We know that Chief Conte last week said that he needs a lot of officers in the District of Columbia, that they are at the lowest points. Yes, we realize that, Mayor Bowser, unfortunately, every week we see her at impromptu press conferences decrying the violence and the death in the city as a result of gun violence. That's not what we're talking about tonight. The thing that I'm asking the Lisas of D.C. and anyone else who is listening to this program is, what are you doing to protect yourself? Have you changed the way that you have conducted yourself when you go out and about, whether it's grocery shopping? Do you carry mace? Do you have a weapon? What are you doing to make sure that you don't become a victim of crime, Lisa?
Well, what I'm doing is I travel away from the community where I feel that I will may be a victim. I don't even go grocery shopping in my community. I may go somewhere like in somewhere PG or maybe somewhere in Virginia and do my grocery shopping because I feel like in the area that I live at, it's a lot of guys hanging out state spotting you and checking you, and I don't want to be a victim of any, you know, carjacking, because I was it was an attempt carjacked in 2009 that I almost got carjacked.
Mm-hmm.
And just so happened at gunpoint, and my daughter was in the back and she was sleeping, and she just started yelling, and the guy ran away. But thank God, you know, nothing ever happened to me. But I feel like, you know, the community where we at, we need more police presence. And, you know, I think, again, we have to also both be, you know, committed to helping the police out as well as the police allowing us to be secure.
Okay. Okay. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for your input. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We want to hear from our listeners tonight. What are you doing? Have you made any changes in your life to make sure that you don't become a victim of violent crime? Small or large changes, changes as you go to work, changes at home, changes as you socialize in the community. Give us a call. Let us know what you're doing at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Quickly, Clyde, what did you hear from Lisa when she was sharing with you what she was doing? She lives in Northeast D.C., but she's literally leaving D.C. She says she's going to Prince George's County or to Northern Virginia. Your thoughts about, is that an extreme tactic to ensure one's safety, or do you think that's really par for the course?
No, what I heard from the caller was something that was key. Outside of, you know, redirecting her route to go grocery shopping and to going, you know, crossing, you know, county lines and state lines and things like that, the one thing that she said that was important, the community wants the police officers to be available and present in their community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we have, you know, to find ways that we can increase police presence because the presence of a police officer will deter crime. I worry about residents who become the victim of a crime, who go choose to defend themselves and later could find themselves criminally charged. Like in the state of Maryland, we have a duty to retreat law.
Hold that thought. So, hold that thought, yes. Because I want you to finish it, because that's really important what you're about to share. But I need to take a really quick break. Also, Melinda calling from Virginia. We're going to talk to you next. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. How can you protect yourself from violent crime? Want to hear from you tonight. Going to take a quick break. I'm Harold Fisher. John Bonds is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's coming up on WHUR. This conversation continues on SiriusXM Channel 141. We'll be back in a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about what you can do to protect yourself from violent crime. My guests are Azaria. She is a community activist, but she's also a survivor of violent crime. Also, Clyde Boatwright, president of the Maryland State Fraternal Order of Police. Lines are open. Want to hear from our listeners tonight. What are you doing to make sure that you don't become a victim of violent crime? Are you making any changes, big or small? Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Clyde, you were talking about the Maryland state law as it relates to self-defense. Please continue your point.
Yes. So Maryland, the state of Maryland is a duty to retreat law. Has a duty to retreat law, so you cannot become the aggressor in that case, meaning you must do everything you can to get away from your attacker before you use force. You can do, like, if there is a pathway for you to run, under state law, you must run. If there is a pathway of escape, you must escape. You can't have the person to successfully take your items from you, and as they're turning to walk away, you attack them by stabbing them, by shooting them, by hitting them with a brick, because they're no longer an active threat. And I heard the other guests talk about being, you know, having a pocket knife. yes, if you're being physically attacked, by all means, defend yourself or defend someone else that's being physically attacked. But at the point that the person either turns away from you or is no longer progressing towards you, you must retreat and or find a pathway of exiting the situation.
But it seems to me that, and you alluded to this earlier about, you know, regular law-abiding citizens who may feel that they are defending themselves, for example, in their homes. One could argue in your car. If you were sitting in your car and someone attempts to carjack you or to rob you, then it becomes a bit complicated. If you have a weapon, any kind of weapon, gun, knife, souvenir wooden baseball bat that they used to hand out at the baseball games, and if you defend yourself, then and you severely harm or even kill someone who is attempting to assault you, then you find yourself having to defend yourself, as you said, legally.
Well, we have a case here that's pending in the city of Baltimore where we have this epidemic of squeegee kids. With, you know, they come to wash windows at the stoplight.
I'm familiar with it, yes. Mm-hmm.
And we had this case where a squeegee worker damaged something on squeegee kids, damaged something on a person's car. He exited his vehicle with a baseball bat, crossed three lanes of traffic, armed with the baseball bat, and one of the squeegee kids shot him in the head and killed him. Now, that has caused a divide amongst the community. One, that the squeegee kid shouldn't have been out on the street and being allowed to solicit people for money in exchange for cleaning windows. And the other side said that, you know, he brought a bat to a gunfight and he shouldn't have. The victim shouldn't have exited his vehicle. He was safe in his car, and by exiting his vehicle, he caused his own demise. So there's a imbalance here. Not the fact that this young person shouldn't have ever been armed with a handgun in the first place, an illegal handgun, but you know it still caused a divide amongst the city, and that case is still pending. But you know, again, if you have an opportunity to get away. Get away, live to fight another day.
Mm-hmm. But see, here's the other piece. You know, for example, Azaria, when you talk about the most recent issue, where the guy, you know, took your headphones, and you know, at least on the surface, there doesn't appear to me to be anything that you could have done to have avoided that happening. If you're just sitting there minding your own business.
Literally.
Yeah.
Minding my own business.
Listening to Jay-Z, Beyonce, or whoever you're listening to. You know?
I wish I could remember.
You know?
That I honestly could say, because, you know, I thought about it so much when I was going through that healing process. And the only thing I could come up with, because even the police played the tape for me. Identify him and everything like that. And he didn't even pay for the bus. So he must have, you know, pre-planned this at the metro station. Like, you know, scouted me out like he really needed and wanted my headphone. And the way I looked at it, you know, whoever he owed or needed to get the money for my headphones to take them. Hey, I just let it go. And I went to my graduation and continued on with my day.
Yeah.
You know, and I was just grateful to still be alive and not be injured. And my daughter came out on my birthday, actually.
Okay. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Melinda calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Melinda. What's on your mind?
So I work and live in Virginia, so I ride the train, so I don't have any stops to go when I do go to work. But what I do is when I'm getting on that certain train line, I kind of try to walk all the way down to the end, and I'll try to sit behind the driver. Not that that may not make a difference, but for my safety. And then when I'm in certain areas, I try to always act like I'm on my cell phone, like talking, you know, looking at my peripheral vision when I'm walking through the thing to scare my Metro card. They can walk right up when you're trying to get through, and I'll stand there. So, like, I'm the only one that can get through, because they're not going to get through on my, you know, on my card. But, I mean, it may not be as, I mean, it's safe to me, but I always try to, like, walk in crowds, you know, when I'm getting off the train. And I have a question. Is mace considered a weapon? Like, can you use it, or how does that work?
Clyde, I know that you are in Maryland, but do you have any thoughts about what Melinda is asking?
Yes, pepper spray for self-defense is acceptable. It's just that you can't take it in certain buildings and certain venues don't allow it. But yeah, pepper spray is acceptable.
Well, Melinda, let me ask you this. You went through a bit of a laundry list of some of the things that you're doing to make sure that you stay safe. When did you start doing this? Why did you start doing this? What prompted you to really focus on personal safety when you're on the train or out and about?
Well, I work from home certain days, but the crime itself is getting high. And what I explain to, like, people at my job and stuff, like, I know they talk about putting extra police on certain lines, but the line that I ride and the area I go in, Eisenhower, it's crime there too. It's just, you know, people don't think that it's crime there, but it is, and they need to be there as well. Maybe not as much, but, you know, and then when I'm also going, I am pretty hippie, so I try to cover, you know, wearing a jacket long enough or whatever, you know, going. But it's just, I see people all the time. Just Thursday coming home, a guy was trying to say something to me. I don't give him no eye contact, but because I didn't give him eye contact, he's, you know, trying to call me out my name and trying my best to ignore it. But when I got through to the thing, the Metro worker, he kind of, I guess he sensed something, and then he walked me up, you know, to the thing, and it's like, you know, it just, guys seem like they get, not all guys, I'm sorry, this particular guy got upset because I didn't say anything. I heard what he said because I don't keep my music on when I'm walking,
mm-hmm.
so I can hear, or, you know, I have one out or whatever, but I act like I'm on my phone. Sometimes I'm not on it. But that's what made me, it's just, you know, crime everywhere. They're coming out here in Virginia, been out here, but Eisenhower needs the, you know, Franconia needs, you know, coverage as well as the green line, you know, red line does as well.
Okay. Well, Melinda, stay safe. Thank you for participating in the conversation. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I wanted to ask Azaria, besides self-defense, taekwondo, what have you, because those kind of things, certainly while helpful, you know, it requires, you know, going to class, it requires, you know, studying, it certainly requires a certain amount of commitment for self-defense. But for I guess what you would call the kind of defense that would be a passive things, that,
like trusting your instinct,
yeah,
being aware of your surroundings.
Yeah, talk to me about that. You know, kind of the passive things that people can do to protect themselves that they can, you know, make changes with right away.
I really liked what the caller said about, you know, pretending to be on her phone, or even being on the phone while you're out. You know, we have 3 minutes now, right? I remember a time when we had to call each other after 9.
yes,
that tells my age a little bit.
right.
so, you know, even if you're out, thank God I have a car now. So I do, and I actually get a little bit of anxiety when I do catch the train, just because of the past traumatic experiences that I've had. But just being aware of your surroundings, being alert, keeping a safe distance. I liked how she talked about that. My grandmother gave me a tip of just not even going out if you don't have to, right? I think people are just out, and all these crimes are happening because everybody wants to be outside, right?
Mm-hmm.
But just being out with intention and good intention, you find yourself in these right environments that match up with the energies where you're not being subjected to violence.
Hmm. What do you say, Clyde? Any other, you know, passive suggestions that people can do? Things that people, you know, can do, you know, right now as they, you know, begin to kind of change, you know, their behavior, whether it's, you know, going home, you know, when they go home at night. I know one of the things that I had warned a good sister friend of mine, because she has a backyard driveway in Northeast DC, in Brooklyn, in the Brookland area. And a neighbor, someone she didn't know, obviously, but someone in her general community, pulled into the backyard. But instead of getting out and going immediately into the house, she sat in her car and was checking messages and the like, and was carjacked on her own property. And I think that, you know, sometimes, you know, you get home and there's this big sigh, and a lot of people, you know, don't think that instead of just sitting still that, you know, Clyde, they need to get out of the car and get in the house.
Yeah, that's one of the big key. Again, that's a part of limiting your exposures. By sitting in the vehicle, you make yourself a target. One of the things that I encourage everyone, if you have the means to do so, and that is to put motion sensor lighting around your home. So the minute that you pull up, if you have a camera system such as Ring Doorbell or Vivid or one of these other companies, if you have the camera system around your home, that the minute that they detect motion, the lights come on, that's a good thing for you to be able to see a possible attacker hiding or coming towards you, and that gives you that few seconds you may need to get away. And you get good footage of it, because then, you know, as police officers, we can kind of look at the motive and the style. You know, there are different things that we look at of with these criminal acts, you know, these criminals, how they move. So we are able to determine and link them to different crimes in different ways. So get good camera footage. Have your camera system registered with your local police department so that they can have access to the cameras, not only for you, but for your neighbors. So those are different passive things that I would say, but never sitting in your vehicle. Sitting in idle vehicles where someone could come up behind you. If you're not sitting backed up against the wall where you can see to your right, to your left, and in front of you, where no one can come behind you, then you're setting yourself up for being a victim of a crime.
Mm-hmm. I would also say that, you know, to your point, because I, like you, I live in Baltimore. I live in the city, and I live in a very safe neighborhood until it's not.
That's correct.
But I have floodlights, motion sensor lights in the back of my house. I try not to take the trash out to the alley at night. I have to remind myself, because the commute is so long, that, you know, when I get home, not to take the breath until I get in the house. Yes, I have cameras in the back. I have cameras in the front. Not because, you know, I'm paranoid, but it's because I do certainly want to be safe. I know that in years past, because I had a motion sensor camera, when someone damaged my next door neighbor's car, he asked me, because he didn't have a motion sensor camera in front of his house, whether or not I saw anything. And I could literally go back, and we were able to see the person, damage the mirror, on his car, and he was able to, to take action, beyond that. I just said, here's the video, this is what I saw. And that was very, very helpful, to him. But I think that at some point, as Azaria was saying, if you're sitting there, minding your business, sometimes there's just not a whole lot you can do, Clark.
No, you're absolutely correct. And so when you're confronted with those situations, you got to remain calm and remember to think. Your possessions are not worth your life. Give it up. Don't fight over it. Some people want to fight over that bag.
Definitely
or fight over that.
Even your iPhone.
But what's that? Say that again.
No, you definitely want to give the items up. Like, for me, that experience just taught me, it was not, the beats were not worth my life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so even the kids that I mentor with my program, I let them know, your stuff is insured. You can get another one. Just give it up because it's not worth it. And that's what really causes the confrontation or escalates it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Terry, calling from Virginia.
Hi,
thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I was saying that a couple things that I do is, first, when I'm going out, if I'm going somewhere and I'm not familiar where I'm going, I would always put it on my phone before I get in my car. So once I'm in my car, I'm not sitting there.
Mm.
And even though my car locks automatically, I push the lock down as soon as I get in, make sure I'm locked in. Additionally, if I have people come to do work at my house, when they leave, I check all my windows, make sure the locks are locked and my doors. And then I did get the doorbell to make sure the ring, so I could make sure I could kind of see who's there for the front door and the back door. And I think that, basically, those are kind of the things you can do to just make sure that you're paying attention to what's going on around you.
So let me stop you there for a minute, Terry, and ask Clyde about this, because I think Terry mentioned something that is so important. There are all kinds of apps, where you can find, handymen, from your, community. You got Angie's List, and you got Nextdoor, and you got Thumbtack,
yes,
and all of these other stuff, all these other things. You want somebody to come in and paint your house. You want somebody to put a light in. But Clyde, a lot of times, how do you know who's coming in your house, and how should this issue be addressed?
Yeah, so one of the things that when inviting contractors or movers or things like that into your home, one of the first things you want to do is remove all your prescription medications out of your medicine cabinets in your restroom, because they will ask to use your restroom and they will steal your narcotics.
Wow. Okay.
That's so you want to be, just be mindful of people that want to wander or walk around your house and ask questions about items. About locations that they're not there to service, such as, hey, what's going, what type of basement do you have? Is your basement finished? That's not why you're here. You're here to fix the first floor bathroom. Let's keep it
right.
Focused on why you're here. Because people will engage you in a conversation and actually size up by your items in your home to determine what type of money you possibly have access to, what type of clothing and jewelry you might have access to. They'll look at if you have nice things and determine maybe you could be the prime candidate they can come back and rob later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Terry, thank you so much for sharing with us, because I think you brought up a point that, again, is so important. I didn't think about it, but after you mentioned it, I did think about it, and the fact that, yes, I just had two guys do some work on my attic. They did
right.
Great work. Would recommend them, but two young black men and
right.
Black like me. I'm not.
Exactly.
Wasn't worried about them. They were professional, right. You know, the whole bit. But now after talking to Clyde, now I have to think back, you know, and they did everything that they were supposed to do, as well as the, right. the guy who put my chandelier in my dining room 2 years ago. Exactly. He did what he was supposed to do. And the person right. who came to paint. But, you know, now I have to rethink
you have to be a little
that.
More cautious.
You really do. Terry, thank you so much.
Cautious.
Thank
You're
you
welcome.
So much.
Thank you.
You know, one of the other things too, on a bit of a personal note, I will say this, and this has been, you know, kind of a discussion that I've been having with my friends a lot lately, had it with the boss here, is that back in December, I took a gun permit class, and that was back in December. I have yet to go to the state police to get, you know, my gun permit. I have been thinking about perhaps purchasing a handgun for protection in my home for more than 3 years and still have not made a decision about doing it, Clyde, because I'm not a gun person.
Yeah.
But you know, even these kinds of conversations, because, you know, I have, you know, some of my neighbors, you know, own handguns for protection. A police officer up the street from me. I have friends who own handguns for protection in, you know, in their home. They are enthusiasts. I would not want to do a concealed carry or anything like that, and definitely not ready for that. But I'm still not ready to do it. You know, Clyde, I'm still not. I have been standing on this fence for more than 3 years.
Yeah, you sound like my dad. You know, my dad finally had a conversation. He wasn't the direct victim. You know, he was in his home, and the pizza delivery guy came to deliver a pizza that he didn't order, where these people called mm-hmm. the pizza and used my dad's address, and then they ran up on the porch and pistol whipped the pizza delivery guy. My dad was helpless on the other side of the door because he's watching this guy get hit with this firearm, and he's watching it on his ring camera door, you know, his doorbell camera. And he can't go help him because he doesn't have, he can't meet the same force because he doesn't have the firearm to meet the force to help save this guy's life outside. And so, you know, those conversations, I try to, you know, have those same conversations with relatives and everyone else. You know, the firearm is a tool. It's no different than a hammer. The hammer becomes a dangerous weapon when you use it in the wrong way. And that's mm-hmm. the same thing a firearm is. You can lay a firearm on a table and not touch it, and it's not going to kill anybody. So you'll have extremists, these gun safety advocates, that will try to make it seem like it's the gun that's the problem, when it's actually the person behind the firearm is the problem. A baseball bat can and a hammer can become as equal as dangerous as a firearm if used incorrectly. And so I'm a proponent of responsible gun ownership. That's just me as an individual, because I do know and have seen cases where a person being properly trained and properly armed saved their life because they were able to meet force with force.
Yeah. You know, Azaria, you've shared, you know, so much with us, but one of the things that you did say was that, you know, after, you know, the robbery, you know, on the bus, that it took some counseling and some time for you to, you know, to get over what happened to you. Talk to me about that process and where you are now.
Yes, I'm so glad that you asked. Well, now, you know, I'm very, very confident. But at the time, you know, I was so sad and depressed. I was actually on crutches and had to heal completely because I had a contusion in my ankle.
And that was traumatizing. I was working for the government at the time. You know, I was an innocent soul. Just trying to get from one job to the next.
Right.
And, you know, for me, therapy is what you make it, right? So I am actually a mental health advocate as well. And I, like I said, I just took this experience and was, I want to help others, you know, and I am helping others. And the people that come to our programs and come to our therapy, they're able to, you know, cope better, right? Because it's all in how we cope with these type of situations. Now, everybody that gets robbed or has a traumatic situation that happens to them, they're not able to get up and think like how I'm able to think now, right? It does take time. It takes meditation. It takes church or going to the mosque or whatever you may pray. It takes prayer, right? It takes just being able to know that things will be better and being alert and aware. Like like I said, we're out here so much. Mm-hmm. And it's too much on the police, I think, because I actually, as an activist, was able to go to the command center because the thing that my question was, you know, why are these children being victims when there's so much police presence, right? And the conversation that we were able to have with the police, it is a lot on police officers because they have to go out and do so much. They have to be case managers. They have to be, you know, mental health therapists. They have to do so much things when they really just want to protect and serve. But by the time they get there and try to do all of these things, you know, it's too late, right? So, again, being alert, aware, I'm so sorry about what you're experiencing with trying to protect your home because, again, just having a skill set if you don't want to carry a weapon that's like a gun, right? Because for me, that fear, I have that fear as well, right? Because why martial arts is my lane. And mm-hmm. with that, you'll be able to do some serious things with that skill set, you know, with martial arts.
Well, I think I'll have that be the last word. Azaria, thank you so much for your input and sharing in this conversation. Also, Clyde Boatwright, I appreciate your input as well. Always good to have you on the program.
Thank you.
All right. That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, February 27th. I'm Harold Fisher.